Amen, and that's right. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. And we started this last week, and I didn't get all the way through, of course. And so we're going to look at this a little bit this evening as well. I appreciate you being here. This is, I'm looking forward to getting through these. Really, last week's message and this week's message are really foundational messages. When you're looking at the life of Abraham, you really need to look at this through these thoughts, these characteristics of Abraham. And because if you do, if you don't, we get stuck. We start getting confused. We start wondering what in the world. In fact, if you're not careful, we'll think the Bible's contradicting itself because we make assumptions. We see others through the eyes of humans instead of seeing the eyes through the eyes of a good and gracious and merciful God. We saw when they said that we saw John says we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. A lot of times we'll look at grace and say, well, that's a compromise. No, it's grace. God's not compromising anything. But in his grace, he doesn't cut us off of the knees either. He's not throwing truth out, but he hits us with grace. In fact, if God approached us with truth first, like a lot of times we do with each other, there wouldn't be any of us left. He's trying to bring us to truth. He loves us with an everlasting love. Malachi 3 says, listen, he says, the reason you all aren't consumed, Jacob, because I change not. Because I'm a loving God and I love you. And if I ever stop doing that, you're all in a heap of trouble. If God ever stopped being gracious and loving and merciful, we're all in a lot of trouble. But he changes not, and that's who he is. That doesn't throw out truth. He's trying to bring us to truth. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And then he lives through us to fulfill the law in us. Listen, if we have the love of Christ, we talked about this morning, the love of Christ living in us, we don't need the law because the law was made for the lawless. Well, you have, but there's another law. There's a law of love that comes in, and it becomes our ruler, if you will, and we start making our decisions based on the love of God, not based on what we think that person ought to be. So anyway, let's start here in Ephesians, where did I come from? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance. It's something you can, you feel like you can feel it, you can touch it, but you really can't. Faith is the substance, is made up of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We have Abel. The evidence of his faith was he did what God told him to do. He offered the sacrifice of blood, not fruits and vegetables. Now, frankly, if I got to give up something, I'd rather give up the fruits and the vegetables than a good steak. But he did what he was supposed to do. He offered up the sacrifice of blood. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But wait, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So apparently, Enoch had faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is the evidence there in that verse of faith? It says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence there is that we diligently seek him. If you could take it or leave God, your relationship, and you're not diligently seek him, you better watch out. You better check on your faith. Because if it's faith and he has what you need, you believe that he is all that he says he is, and you're not diligently seek him, then your faith may be dead. One of these days, before we're done here, we'll spend some time in the book of James. See, a lot of people take the book of James and think it's about salvation. That's not what it's not talking about salvation. It's talking about the fact that we believe God, and because if we believe God, it's going to show up in our works. Now, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God and things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What did he do? He moved with fear. He realized that God meant what he said. And so Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith. What is the evidence of Noah's faith? He built the ark. He did everything God told him to do. Even though everybody else in the world thought he was a crazy man, he did what he was supposed to do. By faith, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. So he went out. He didn't know where he was going. He just obeyed God. That's the evidence of things not seen. He couldn't see where he was going. He couldn't see the city that God was going to put him in. He couldn't see all that God had planned for him, but he went because he had faith. But faith, if you don't go, is dead faith. It's the evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's as real to you as if you could touch it, because you're going to move on it. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned. Not only did he go, but he got out there. He didn't go back. He wandered around in the wilderness. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac. He raised his kids there, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him, the same promise. What's the evidence of his faith? When he got out there and found there wasn't anything out there, no Walmarts, no McDonald's. There was nothing. There wasn't even a pizza shop on the corner. I mean, it's got to be a Starbucks someplace, but it wasn't even a Starbucks out there. When he got out there in the middle of nowhere, he didn't turn around and go back home. Faith said, I'm going to stay there. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She laughed when she heard the angel say, you know, she's going to have a child about this time next year. You see, you laughed, or it didn't. Yeah, you did. You laugh. No, I didn't laugh. Yeah, I heard you laugh. And she says, can it really happen? Can it really actually come true? Can I have the joy of being a mother at this stage in my life? But what's it say here? She judged him faithful who had promised. I said, well, Lord, if that's what you want to do, I'm all for it. Diapers at 90. But I'm all for it. Verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Now I'm talking about Abraham. So many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Wow. But having seen them afar off. They did what they did in an eternal perspective because they believed that God was faithful who hath promised. And so they lived today on the promises of God, though they never saw them come to fruition, or very few. You saw Isaac come. They were still out in the middle of the wilderness. He saw them afar off, middle verse 13, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Did you see that? Took the promises, grabbed a hold, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's all we are. Strangers and pilgrims, like Pastor Nathan was talking about in Sunday school. Strangers and pilgrims, well, that's okay. Because God's faithful. There's a promise out there, and I'm going to live by on the basis of the promise, not on the basis of where I am right now. That's faith. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been, verse 15, mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. He said, in other words, he had plenty of chances. When things got bad, to go back home. We'll get into it later, but I mean, not long after Abraham leaves Ur of the Chaldees, what happens? There's a famine. So now he's out in the middle of the desert with nothing. First thing he could have done was go back home. This must not have been the will of God. I'm going back home. It's hard, so it must not be the will of God. It's tough, so it must not be the will of God. You see how we do that? Well, I don't like this. Must not be the will of God. It's the will of God, it must be happy. God wants me to be happy. So if I'm not happy, it must not be God. You better watch out with those kind of thoughts. Verse 16. So anyway, verse 15. So basically, he had plenty of opportunity to go back if he wanted to, but he didn't. Why? Because they were still looking for that city to come. But now they desire a better country. Verse 16. And that is a heavenly. Oh, my soul. So the country I'm headed out for isn't even going to be here. Okay? Someplace out there I can't see. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Oh, man. For he hath prepared for them a city. He says, they're my people. Why? Because they believe what I told them, even though they cannot see it. That's the they're living their life based on the promise. That's the evidence of things not seen. They're living by the substance of things hoped for, a confident expectation. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You want me to throw away my last chance? This is it. I'll take care of it. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. We're going to pray. We're going to do a part two of A Man of Faith, Abraham. A Life of Faith is kind of the series, and this message here is A Man of Faith, and we had it in two parts here. This is part two today, and let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for teaching us your word. And Lord, these are some basic principles that we need to understand and live by. Lord, I pray that you bless our time. May it be a real blessing to the folks. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the Lord has specifically designed his word to teach us the truths and the principles of life. First Corinthians says, all these things have happened unto us for ensamples, to strike a die, that they're written for our admonition, and so to teach us. And there's certain notables in the Word of God. I named some last week. Solomon's known as the man who was the wisest man in all the earth, the wisest man who's ever lived. And that's his and by the way, he wasn't perfect either. So Solomon's known for wisdom. Abraham is known for faith. The legacy of Abraham is that Abraham believed God and God counted it for righteousness. In other words, what God wanted Abraham to do to please him was simply to believe in him, but not just believe that it happened, like Nathan was talking about for this kid, not just to believe in the head, but believe it enough that we're willing to act upon it. Fall backwards and hope somebody's going to, he says, I'm throwing myself in the arms of God and I hope he's going to catch me. Really, when we ask for salvation, that's kind of what we're saying. I'm throwing myself in his arms and I'm hoping he's going to get me to heaven, because I'm not going to get it on my own works, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. So his legacy is that he believed God. Would God want Abraham to live righteously and perfectly? Of course he would. But on the other hand, God knew that Abraham would not. And in fact, God uses the imperfections of Abraham to show us that it's not by works that we are saved, but by faith in the grace of God. We live hoping, praying with that hope that God's gracious. Because if he's not gracious, we're in trouble. If he's not going to exercise his mercy toward us, we're in a heap of trouble. So Abraham's life of faith was not great faith because Abraham was faithful to God, but that Abraham had faith, here it is, in the faithfulness of God. We'll get here to some new stuff in a moment. So now, Abraham was not guiltless or always righteous. And when God called Abraham, he was a heathen. He was a heathen sinner. He turned out to be a liar. Turns out kind of an adulterer, kind of with his wife's encouragement. It's crazy and awful as weird as that is. He didn't even always learn his lesson the first time. On our paper from last week, I got a review there for you. So just remember, you got to put these in your mind. Abraham was an ordinary man. These are already on your paper. Abraham was an ordinary man. Abraham was not naturally a great man. Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary faults. Say, I know you got it right there. Say it with me so that you know he had faults. Come to the club. Welcome to life. Welcome to human nature. Welcome to mortality. He had faults. Abraham was an ordinary man with ordinary fears. Faults and fears. Listen, we think, well, he's a great man. He never even thought that there was a problem. Listen, his faith never wavered. Yeah, it did. I'm getting ahead of myself. He's an ordinary man with ordinary failures. Because he has faults, thus he has fears, and he's bound to fail. Because we have faults, we're not perfect. We're going to have some fears. And because we have those fears, there's going to be some times we're going to step back. We're not going to step out on faith and do what God has called us to do. We're going to have some failures. What made Abraham a great man was the willingness to separate himself from his own understanding. Separate from his own understanding. This doesn't make sense, but God said to do this. Oh, no. All right, here we go. And he went. He separated himself from his own understanding and leaned on the extraordinary God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But if you don't acknowledge him, what do you want me to do? He's not going to direct your paths. Well, what if you acknowledge him? He directs your paths. Now what do you do? You got to move in it. We can know what he wants us to do and still not move, and we're still not living by faith. Oh, I believe it's true. I just don't think I better do it. Well, then you don't believe it's true. Now, we naturally have faults. We naturally have fears. We naturally have failures. But we can also have an extraordinary God. We can live a life that pleases God because we can choose to live by faith. I gave you a couple statements. Faith overcomes faults, and faith overcomes fears. Faith overcomes our failures. We need to learn God's word and then have a life of faith where we follow and do what God has told us to do. I'm not sure where we are on your paper here, but Abraham was called of God and protected and blessed by God because God is faithful. And I think I have this underneath there. Abraham was not always faithful to God, but Abraham had faith in the faithfulness of God. You see what I'm saying? That's so important. We have faith in the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need that thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's what we are trusting. We're not trusting that God's impressed with us, and so he's going to be faithful to us. We realize that we are looking for his mercy, but his mercies are new every morning. And since he's faithful, that for his mercies to be new every morning, he's not going to knock me off. He's going to be with me. He says, I'm for you. Does it say review here? I don't know whether it does. Watch. Abraham, I think it's in dark print. Abraham, maybe it's not. Abraham was an ordinary man. Abraham had ordinary faults. Abraham had ordinary fears. Abraham had ordinary failures. Watch me. One of our men was talking about this, heard a statement. He says, failures don't always have to be final. And that's good. But watch what I wrote there. Failures are only final if we forsake our faith in the faithfulness of our Father. There's it again. Failures are only final if we forsake our faith in the faithfulness of our Father. This a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. We may fall. Our faith may be enough weak enough that we're not willing to take those steps. We understand it, but we're not willing to take that step. But the fact is, he says, all right, get back up. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. He knows we're going to have those failures. But God is faithful. So he says, let's try it again. Abraham had ordinary faith in an extraordinary God. I think I've got this here too. Watch else. This is kind of new, but when did you see this? Faith, here it is. I think it's new for you. Faith is faith. Did you see that there? All right. Faith is faith. Underneath that, watch. Faith is not feelings. All right. Faith is faith. Faith is action based on a promise, command of God. God said it, and so faith is saying, I believe it, and now I am going to, until I take that step and actually live according to what the promise says, I'm not exercising faith. My faith is dead. It's worthless. Faith is faith. Faith is not feeling. See, a lot of people say, well, I feel it. No, you may not have hardly any feeling about it, but you trust in God's faithfulness. The circumstance may seem, this is really weird. I don't see how in the world this is going to work. This can't be right. You mean you want me to sacrifice my only son, the one that you told me is going to be the one who's going to be the progenitor for nations, for thousands, millions of people, and you now want, this doesn't make sense. Okay. That's faith. I got a feeling he wasn't feeling it. I don't know whether he had a conversation with Sarah or not. I'm pretty sure she wasn't feeling it. In fact, if I remember right, I think she kind of gives him a hard time when they circumcise Isaac. She says, I'm not feeling this. This is my baby. Don't you do this. He says, well, we have to, sweetie. This is what God wants us to do. And by faith is what we're going to do. See, faith is not feelings. Watch. Faith moves forward. Listen, you can't sit there and have stagnant belief and call it faith if you're not willing to step out. Stagnant feelings is not, if I could just feel it, if I could just know, based on the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God says, this is what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. I know it doesn't make any sense to you, but this is what we're going to do. Faith said, okay, that's what God's Word says to do. That's what we're going to do. That's faith. You may not feel real good about it. All we need is faith as a mustard seed in a God that can move mountains. Number two. New stuff. A man of faith. A man of faith. So, first part here last week. He was an ordinary man with faults and fears and failures. You got to watch those feelings. Don't let them take away, steal your faith. And don't wait for feelings to have faith. Number two, he's a man of faith. Letter A, Abraham believed God. Look, go back to Genesis. This is where we learn about him. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. I want you to look at the Bible here because we've got a couple of things I want you to see. Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, by the way, we have the word of the Lord too. It's written right here. You don't need to go looking someplace else. Listen, you don't need to have some kind of book from somebody else who's on the radio to tell you what faith is. Here it is, right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Learn the word of God. Now, I'm not saying you can't get a book and help you learn about the word of God, but the fact is, get a commentary. Get your concordance out. Study the Bible. Cross-reference it. A Thompson Chain reference Bible is pretty nice. Try one of those. Just use something to get you through the Bible. Hey, there's little things out here, the chronological things that you read the Bible through in a year. You might be surprised. You do that a few years, and things start making sense. You start reading this. I know we've got some ladies in here who could testify to that, huh? Yeah, because they're reading, and they find, oh, I heard that. Well, that's there. And they come in and tell Janet, look what I found. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. This is the word of God. So, what does it say? He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" Now, he's already been told that he's supposed to be a father of a great nation. He says, "Well, how are we going to work this thing out here? What are you going to give me to make this work?" He says, "And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. What's he say? What's he got? Faults and failure and fears, and you're going to get some failure here. Well, let's make this guy. Let's just pretend I'll adopt him, and he'll be my son. And we'll just do it because you haven't done anything yet, Lord. I thought he was a man of faith. Oh, he's still out there in the middle of the mess. But he's an ordinary man with faults and fears and failures. And God could have said, "You don't get it yet, do you? All right, you can just go back home. I'm done with you." No, he didn't. You know what he said? He said, "I've got this guy. Let's let him do it." And behold, the word of the Lord, verse 4, came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. He said, "Well, you know, Lord, it's not working real well, and you know, we don't have a baby yet, and you know, we're getting old." And I could understand, you know, back some years ago when you first talked about it, we probably could have done something, but man, it's just kind of, life has passed us by. Making a deal with God. You know how we, well, if you do this, I tell you what, this will be fine, God. Why don't we just do this? I'll be okay with that. We think we're doing God a favor by saying his promises are not really true. You see how crazy that is? And so God says, "Whack, whack, 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 whack." No, he didn't. He says, "No, listen. The one who's going to be your son is going to be your son. Right out of you. Come here, Abraham. Look, Abraham. You see all those stars up there? Can you count them?" "I can't count them." "You're going to have that many kids and more." And Abraham said, "Okay." So what did he do? Evidence of his faith. He dropped the idea of Eliezer being his heir. He dropped that idea. "All right, Lord, that's what you think. We'll just keep moving on. We'll keep sojourning through this mess. All right." And God says, "Now that's righteousness. He believes me." Letter A, Abraham believed God. See, Abraham heard the promises of God and the word of God. That word believe means to build up faith. Faith came out of the word of God. God came back to him. Listen, when you open to God's word and you read it and you say, you ought to, "Lord, tell me what I need to know today. Give me what I need today." And you be honest, if you're faithful with that, he'll start giving you what you need. It may not be the first day. It might be not the second day. It might not be the first week. But believe God and you stick with it. Even when it doesn't make any sense, and you'll start seeing God working in your life. See, we read the Bible 2 days and why didn't get anything out of it, we stop. Abraham hit the dirt for the rest of his life, not seeing anything that's going to happen. He believed God. And when he didn't see it today, he didn't go back. When he didn't see it this year, he didn't go back. When he didn't see it this decade, he didn't go back. We start whining and complaining because we try to do something we do right for about a month and a half. We're not seeing God do anything. Then we go back. You know what that means? We were taking a good gamble. I'll gamble part of my life on you. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going back. You didn't have faith in that. You had faith in the chances of something good happen. If you have faith in a God, you're not going to change because God changes not. He didn't go anywhere. His promise didn't change. You hang on to that thing, even though it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. Abraham was a mess. He even suggested to put Eliezer in his son. But the fact was all said and done, God says, No, Abraham, we're not going. All right, here we go. Come on, Sarah. And away they went. So believed means to build up or support, to foster, to have trust. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Watch, faith is not natural. Number three, Abraham chose to have faith. He chose to have faith. Abraham chose to move in faith in the faithfulness of God. All right, God's faithful. So I don't see it. I haven't seen it. I don't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't even see the tunnel. But I'm going to keep going because that's what he says to do. Romans 4:1 says this. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Galatians was written to the Gentiles. Galatians 3:3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh the miracles among you doeth it by the works of the law and by the hearing of faith. Verse 6 of Galatians 3 says this, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at James chapter 2. I think you have this one there. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The evidence of things hoped for. Things not seen. I'll show you my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, I have faith. I can't tell you how many people have said, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? Oh, yes, I have faith. Faith in what? Well, I believe in God. Good. But we got to believe in something more than God. You believe in God, you do well. Jesus said this way. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but you believe also in me. You can do more than believe in God. You can believe that God sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. We've got to believe that he died for all of us and for all our sin, not just little. Listen, when he rose again, it proved that all our sins were paid for from the first to the last, from the first person to the last person. Verse 19, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? That's when God said, now I know that thou believest in me. Seest thou that thy faith wrought with his works, and by works was made faith made perfect, or became to be real, to be mature. And the scripture was fulfilled with faith. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, watch, look at this, the friend of God. Get in a second. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Listen, I can say I believe, but if my faith does not cause me to go to action, there's no evidence that there's real faith. It's dead. You could say, well, I believe, I got the feeling. That does not justify us. That's the same as we can pray a prayer and still not actually place our trust in Christ, like he was talking about to the kids. You got to rest in his arms. Lean on the everlasting arms. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I am his and he is mine. We become one. We're one with him. We got to believe that. Letter B. Abraham trusted the faithfulness of God. No, I've said this before, but we're going to move on for that. We're going to develop that a little bit. Abraham trusted the faithfulness of God. Number one, Abraham lived his life according to the promises of God. Abraham lived his life according to the promises of God. Now, we're not perfect. And if we're not perfect, we better trust the promises of God. How, if I had to get there on my own because I'm supposed to be perfect, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Number one underneath that, it says the word the covenant. The covenant. Go back to our passage in Genesis 15. Look at verse 7. Well, let me read verse 6 so we see the connection. Genesis 15, 6. We're going to see the covenant. Look at this. I love this. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, God said to Abraham, I am the Lord. That word, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Lord Jehovah, the great one, where life exists, the self-existing one. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? He said, why should I? Verse 9, he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. He basically butchered them, dismembered them, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided it, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety. God said to Abraham, okay, this is what I want you to know, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve shall I judge, will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark before the smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp went between the pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And it talks about the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Termites and everybody else, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites. Everybody's going to take care of is going to have their land. Now, look what happened here. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to be with you. This is what we need to do. This is your land. But he says, well, how do I know? Okay, he says, here's what I'm going to do. This is what they did. You know, let me see. How's it go? Cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. All right, you know how gross that is, you know. So that's what I want. In other words, that's what happens to me if I don't keep my word. Tell you what God said. They took these animals and they sliced them up. It was a bloody mess. And they laid them in two rows. And then God basically takes Abraham and he sets him. And of course, you can't see God and survive, but he puts him into a sleep, a trance or something, a dream. But God, in the vision of a lamp, the fire of God, the Spirit of God, comes down and goes between these pieces. You see, what would happen is if you made a covenant with somebody, you would cut these animals up, then the two of you would walk down through them basically saying, if I don't keep my word, that should happen to me. I should be sliced up. That's how serious I am about keeping my word. But you know what God did? He said, Abraham, you sit over here. And God went through the covenant himself. You know why he said that? Why he did that? Because he knew doggone well Abraham was going to mess up. But God says, I shall be your God. And I'm going to give you my word that even though you're going to mess up, I'm going to see you through. Boy, if that's not a beautiful picture of eternal salvation, eternal security,
He saves us to the uttermost. He knows doggone well we're going to mess up. But God says, I have paid for all your sins. And he goes down and he says, this is what will happen to me. Of course, it's not going to happen to God because God changes not. God doesn't lie. But he wanted Abraham to understand, this is how serious I am, and I'm doing it on my side. So what's Abraham trusting? The faithfulness of God. Abraham was going to fail in his obedience, and God knew that. But God also knew that Abraham believed him. God made a covenant with Abraham to be faithful without requiring Abraham to make the same promise. Wow. I think Abraham probably knew he was not going to be able to be completely faithful to God either. Let her see. A man of faith, watch. I said there's a man of faith. A man of faith is counted right with God. He is counted right with God. Genesis 15:4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. He was talking about Eliezer. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it, he regarded it, he valued it, he considered to be for him righteousness. You want to be right with God? Believe in him. You think you're going to be right with God by being perfect? You better think again. What pleases God? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Should we do right? Absolutely. But it's like we talked about this morning. If you've got the love of Christ in you, you've got Christ in you, you're going to want to keep the commandments. But don't get proud thinking you kept all the commandments, because you didn't. Do you know everything about sin that God knows? Do your kids know everything about running the house that you know? And then you come home and they do wrong. Why are we're not surprised? Because they're not grown up. Listen, we are so far beneath God. We are so far away from what God wants, I think, sometimes. So help me. God just says, bless their dumb little hearts. Well, I love them. Listen, people love their pets. You come home and they've chewed up the whole thing, and you look at them and they go, tuck their tail and they go, huh? And yet you keep the dumb dogs in the house. You don't throw them out. You love them. Why? Because that's what dogs do. You know what God says? That's what people do. It was counted for righteousness. Number two, and righteousness means to be right, to be clear. Cleared of wrong. To be cleansed, to be just, to be morally virtuous. This is what God is looking for out of us. Simple faith enough to live by it. Number two, God knows Abraham. You see it there? On your paper? God knows Abraham. God knows the imperfectness of his heart. Number one, God knows the imperfectness of his heart. Number two, God knows the imperfectness that his life will reflect. He knows that. Number three, what God is pleased with is Abraham's willingness to trust God. That's what pleases. I know you're a mess. You know what people like about pets? I don't know why. They said, they love us unconditionally. They come home and they go, ah, he's home. Now, if it's a cat, it doesn't work that way. But you got a dog, you know, and about knocks you down. A cat goes, huh? When's dinner? We love God. Listen, Abraham was not right with God because of his perfection, number three, but because of his trust in God. Did I give you this one? This is a big statement here. Watch. Abraham had faults. No, I don't. You don't have this one. We're getting to letter D. Abraham had faults. Abraham had fears. Abraham had failures. But Abraham had faith in the faithfulness of God and thus walked through life counting on the faithfulness of God. And so God counted Abraham, ready for letter D, as the friend of God. Oh, my soul. He had faults, he had fears, he had failures, but he had faith in the faithfulness of God, and because of that, God counted him a friend of God. Look at the verse, James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God and was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I don't know about you, but I sure would like to be able to think God thinks I'm his friend, or he's my friend. You know what I mean? The word friend there, the line you're looking for is dear. Fond of. The last line is the word neighbor. He's a friend. Yeah, we live next door to each other. We're right there together, just like that. When my mom and dad, letter D, underneath number one, friend is the word dear, and neighbor is what you're looking for. When my mom and dad moved from the fuel company in Melrose, there on Route 30 in Maryland, we moved down to Hampstead, and we moved into a house. There was another house, and Dad actually bought that. They bought that house from the other neighbor. It had been that other neighbor's father's house. It was a house that he grew up in. And the guy's name's Robert Geist, but they called him Buzz. And so Buzz Geist and his wife, Jerry, and we kind of grew up with their kids. We would go on vacation. We had a 1972 Kingswood Estate station wagon. It'll hold 9 people. And so there was 4 of them and 4 of us, so it was 8 of us. And we'd all get in there and had one of those seats in the back that faces the other way, you know, and it was fancy. It had one of these windows that would go up by electric, go up this way, and the tailgate would go down. It looked like a spaceship, you know. It was really pretty cool. And we would pack all of it. They have 3 in the front seat row, bench seat, 3 in the second seat, and their little boy and me. I was a little bit, good bit older than he was, but he was a mess. Brent Bratt, we called him. But anyway, we were in the back. I could put up with it. We were okay. And we would just head out and go on vacations. We were together. We do picnics together. Our backyard connected to the backyard of the house that Dad had bought and rented out there, and we got to know them too. And then they went right into their backyard. And summertime, you were just there. You were just friends. And by the way, Miss Jerry died this week. Bless her heart. She just went home. But anyway, we were friends. We were neighbors. If you needed something, you call Buzz. Fact is, Buzz, ever since Dad before Dad died, he would be over, he'd be mowing the lawn, he'd be taking care of things and just making sure. And he just been kind of, they're just a little bit younger than my mom and dad, but he was just making sure, just check in. He kind of checks in on Mom and Miss Jerry. She's been in a home here for a couple years. She just wasn't well. But anyway, friends, they're dear. Can you imagine having that relationship with God? Not because he was perfect, but he believed him. He believed in the integrity of God. He believed in the faithfulness of God. He believed it so much that when God says he'll do it, he took his word for it. The fact is, that's the way we were with Buzz and Jerry. If they said they were going to do it, it was done. It's too late to talk about the night that we borrowed Buzzy's truck. I'll tell that some other day. But that's a great story. Anyway, whenever we borrowed his vehicles, they borrowed ours. We took care of each other. Friends. Number 2, Abraham was dear to God because of Abraham's faith. Was that because of his perfection? No, it was because of his faith in the faithfulness and the character of God. Number 3, God saw Abraham as his neighbor. Isn't that cool? How does God tell us to interact with our neighbor? In love. Is that because our neighbor is perfect? No. Because we are to be, but because we are to be godly, we should love him. So how does God interact with us? When he calls us, won't you be my neighbor? No, he asks us to be, he's our neighbor. How does God work in us when he calls us his neighbor? In love. In love. I'm sorry. God, listen. God calls us his friend. He calls us his neighbor. Why? Because we believe in him. We trust his word. We trust his integrity. We trust his faithfulness. He knows we're imperfect. He knows we're a mess. He knows we have faults and fears and failures. But we trust his faithfulness. He says, that's my friend. In the covenant, we talked about the covenant there. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times. So if a friend loveth at all times, he calls Abraham his friend, then he's promising to love him at all times. You see that? Even when he fails. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Letter E. Ready for this one? There's a man who have faults and fears and failures, but he had faith in the faithfulness of God, so God called him his friend. Now, I wish I could find an F for this, but I didn't. But it's everything else, but it's there. I want you to see it. Letter E. Abraham was seen, ready for this, as a son of God. As a son. Genesis 12:1 says this. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. In other words, I'm going to protect you like a father would his child. Hang on. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now 2 Corinthians 6:17, look what it says. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God changes not. I know I'm putting a couple of scriptures together to get this, but the fact is, Abraham left the heathen. He came out to be separate. And he said, you come out from and be separate, I'll be as a father. You'll be as my son and my daughter. So Abraham was just an ordinary man. Faults like every ordinary man. Fears like any ordinary man. Failures just like any ordinary man. But Abraham had ordinary, watch this, ordinary faith. He had ordinary faith. I don't have that on your paper, but you ought to know, ought to mark that. Listen, faith in belief only is not faith. Faith doesn't become active and true until we move on it. That's the evidence. That's where Abraham was justified by his works. In other words, it proved that he had faith. It showed that the faith was real when he actually moved forward, not just feelings. So the fact is, we really don't have much faith. We may have some knowledge, but we really don't have faith until we're willing to live on it. But you don't have to go far. You just have to take the step. Move. Ordinary faith. And Abraham was thus seen right with God. He was the friend of God. And Abraham treated as a son of God. The difference between an ordinary life and an extraordinary life of faith is the faithfulness of an extraordinary God. And we, by faith, need to step out on that. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for meeting us with us here tonight. I thank you for these folks who decide are going to be here tonight and hear this. Lord, these things can change our life. And actually, kind of, boy, it's almost a relief. Relief that knowing that even though we mess up, you will be faithful. You cannot deny yourself because that's who you are. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed.